This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. It is VSiN Prime Time. Dustin Sweetelson coming up in an hour, and we always hit on the VSiN Pro page plays of our game of the night, Matt. And I forgot to mention that our good friend and colleague Dustin Sweetelson, when that error occurred in the bottom of the fifth inning, he had White Sox first five money line. So that was a 3-2 lead that became a 4-3 loser for Dustin Sweetelson.
At plus 130 he had on the White Sox. That's a that was a tough beat to take there. Defensive breakdown by the White Sox, and the Cubs will take the lead into the late innings at Wrigley tonight. Jensen Lewis played this under the total of 8.5. That's going to be a close call.
Ooh, that's going to be a sweat right now. 4-3 is the score right now as they head into the seventh inning. Shota Imanaga tonight on the hill. 6 innings, only gave up 2 hits, struck out 10 for Shota Imanaga. Gave up a homer, which we talked about, or you talked about, his really lone blemish, a Grichik 3-run homer in the top of the fourth inning, but all in all, pretty strong performance from Shota Imanaga tonight. Luis Castillo, he allowed 4 runs, 3 of them earned on 8 hits. He exited after 4 2/3. So top of the seventh inning, Matt, 4-3 lead for the Chicago Cubs, our VSiN primetime game of the night. We forgot to update the Dodgers. They ran into a bit of trouble in the bottom of the third. Bases loaded. Was it no outs or one out?
Bases loaded with no outs, and Blake Snell did get out of it, and he got in some more trouble. The next inning, Rockies had a couple runners on, but Snell gets out of it again. Just got a pop out, so it's still 5-1 Dodgers.
You have Kansas City Royals on a parlay tonight. The Royals leading 7-4. In the top of the eighth inning against the West Sacramento A's. Michael Wacha, fine. 5 innings, 4 runs, 6 hits, 3 strikeouts. Gave up 3 homers tonight.
He was not very good tonight. And actually, Waka's been really good recently. Under the radar, good. And tonight, not so hot, but he gets a lot of run support, and the Royals still have a good lead there.
So the White Sox have a lead in the division of 5.5 games. The Tigers trying to catch them, and they are currently up 8-5 on the Pittsburgh Pirates. That one top of the eighth inning. So, Matt, we've been talking a lot of college football, as we are ones to do. By the way, a week from Wednesday, Matt and I will be getting ready for the season. We'll have a special edition of VSiN Primetime live from Honolulu, Matt, getting ready for some week zero football. We're going to do a full 4-hour show, all college football, a college football preview show, and looking forward to that 9 days from now out in Honolulu, brought to you by our friends at Rainbow Authentics.
And then
we're going to do our week zero preview show, VSiN College Football Betting Podcast, also in Honolulu. We'll fly back home. You'll work Friday, I'll work Saturday, and then we'll go back out to the Bay Area to check out Stanford in Hawaii live and in person.
That's going to be great. College football's here next week, and it's going to be a trip to Honolulu and a trip to Palo Alto. Couldn't ask for more. So if I get this straight, Tim, next Tuesday, we're going to do the show here next Monday night.
Yep.
We jump on the Red Eye on Hawaiian Airlines. We get in.
By the way, Shohei Ohtani just went. Not Shota Imanaga.
Ohtani
just went yard.
6-1 Dodgers.
6-1 Dodgers.
28 homers now for Ohtani. So we get in about 6 in the morning, 5 or 6 in the morning in Honolulu. We're going to the early morning practice.
Yep.
Timmy Chang's having an early morning practice on the UH Manoa campus. So we'll be out there at practice next Tuesday morning.
Going to get some interviews, talk to some players, talk to some coaches.
Throw the football around a little bit.
Maybe do that, yeah.
We'll be out Wednesday for a 4-hour show, Thursday for the college football podcast, and back here by Friday.
That's right. An efficient trip, couple good dinners that we've got scheduled.
Can't wait.
Man. It's going to be a good trip. It's going to be a good trip. Going to see our friends out there in Honolulu, and thankfully the storm. A lot of rain out there, a lot of power outages, but thankfully, from the people I've talked to, nothing too significant. Cleaning some things up out there. Big Island got hit pretty hard by the by the hurricane out there.
Well, next week that'll be the calm after the storm.
Yeah, and we'll be there.
Yeah.
We'll be there to take it all in. So we're looking forward to that. So I'm going to ask you the question that Stanford Steve asked me today.
Stanford Steve always has very thought-provoking questions.
Ohio State, Notre Dame, Oregon, Texas, Georgia, Indiana, Miami. Question he asked me, Matt, of those seven teams that I believe one of those will win the national title. I don't think anyone else will can win the title. Mm-hmm. We'll see. Indiana obviously was way off the radar a year ago. Of those seven teams, which of those teams do you believe is better this year than they were last year?
The only team in the top seven that I don't believe is better than last year is Indiana. I believe Ohio State is probably better.
Even losing Arvel Reese, Sonny Styles, Caleb Downs, and Carnell Tate. Four picks in the top 11.
Well, that's my – I've got Ohio State basically the same rating as I had on the Buckeyes last year. But I felt like they were overrated. Remember going into the Big Ten title game, I could not believe Ohio State was that big of a favorite against Indiana. I just didn't see it. But Ohio State's offense could be awesome, right?
Yeah.
Offense could be awesome.
Julian saying back could be better than
he
was last year.
Look at all the weapons around him.
Jeremiah Smith, Chris Henry's son?
Yeah.
They have a potential. They're the best.
Bo Jackson in the backfield.
Ran for 1,000 yards last year.
If you look at Ohio State's offense, it's going to be tough to top that. Now, I do think the defense is taking a step back, and I keep hearing, Ohio State's reloading, not rebuilding. They've got all these five stars ready to step in. Look, five stars are great, but they're not going to play at the same level of NFL first and second round draft picks like the Buckeyes produced. I'd say Ohio State's about the same, but the offense has got a chance to be incredible. Oregon's better. Georgia's going to be better. Kirby Smart's going to have a better defense. I think Notre Dame's better. I know you lose two first-round running backs, but to me, the running backs are replaceable. They still got a lot of talent at that position. The rest of the Notre Dame team, to me, is better. I think Texas has got to be better because Arch Manning can't be worse than he was in the first 4 or 6 weeks of last season.
Coleman into that fold.
They got a $48 million roster. They've added some big-time playmakers. I think the Longhorns have to be better. I like the quarterback upgrade for Miami. I think Darian Mensa is an upgrade over Carson Beck. Now you do lose something with the pass rush. You lose two big-time pass rushers.
Keem Ezidore and Reuben Bain.
So I do have a question about that. Indiana, I just don't think the Hoosiers, they lost a lot to the NFL draft. It was 8 or 9 total draft picks, and you got to replace a Heisman candidate, a quarterback with a turnover-prone transfer from TCU. I'm not sure Indiana's going to be better. I'd say at least 4 or 5 of those top seven teams are better than a year ago.
You know, the one that jumps out to me is Miami. They make the run to the national championship game a year ago. I'm with you. I think they upgraded at quarterback. And I think one of the more under-the-radar additions was Cooper Barkate to come in with his quarterback and Mensa. You know, Mensa gets all the buzz because he should. He's a quarterback. And he's really, really good. But Cooper Barkate was his number one wide receiver. And to take some of that pressure off of Malachi Toney, who was spectacular as a freshman, I don't think their wide receiver core rivals Ohio State. I still think Ohio State's is better. You could argue that probably Texas is better.
Ohio State and Texas got
Cam
the top
Coleman,
two.
Yeah. Wingo, Mosley there for Texas. I mean, Texas is loaded. You look at Relique Brown, Hollywood Smith. Texas offense should be ridiculous this year. I'll say this, Matt. I don't think Week 2, Texas-Ohio State is going to be 14-7 like it was last year.
No, it's not. And hopefully Sark's play calling is a lot better and Arch Manning's execution is a lot better than it was a year ago. Like I said, if I made a list of the top 10 games in college football this year, number one has got to be Ohio State at Texas.
Maybe we should do that tomorrow. Let's do that tomorrow. We'll write it down as a note.
Okay.
We'll each put our top 10 games of the college football season.
Rank them 1 through 10.
Yeah, we'll rank them 1 through 10 and we'll look at them from a betting standpoint. But yeah, Texas has improved. Miami has improved. Notre Dame, like you said, they lose Jeremiah Love and Jadarian Price, but their wide receiver group should be better. And the defense, I think, has a legitimate shot, especially with the news that Kingston Viliamuasa, who tore his ACL against Syracuse last November, is apparently full go for the start of the season, which is ridiculous. I mean, he has the potential to be one of the best linebackers in college football this year. The D-line is deep. The secondary, I think, is the best in the country. So I tend to agree with you. It's hard for me to say Ohio State's going to be better with all that they lost, but the offense should be better than it was a year ago, even losing Carnell Tate, which is crazy to say. But, Matt, we know at Ohio State, wide receivers grow on trees at Ohio State, apparently.
Here's one of my problems with the Buckeyes at the end of last year. Their offensive play calling was atrocious in the Big Ten championship game against Indiana and in the playoff loss to Miami. Tim, if you got some time on your hands, you go back tonight when your family's asleep. Put those, if you got those games recorded, go back and look at Ohio State, Indiana, and Ohio State, Miami. The Buckeyes' play calling was so bad, Steve Sarkisian was probably laughing at it. And Sark's a crappy play caller. I almost said something else.
Thank you for not saying something else. I appreciate that.
How about Sark's play calling in some big games? Leaves a lot to be desired. Ohio State's play calling. And then you got to, by the way, you have a change in offensive coordinator for Ohio State this year,
yep.
too.
Arthur Smith comes in from the NFL. He will be the OC. Look, we were both kind of scratching our heads when Matt Patricia took that defensive coordinator job a year ago. What kind of hire is that? He did an awesome job last year, did Matt Patricia. But you lose Caleb Downs, you lose Sonny Styles, you lose Arvell Reese. Those are some big-time talent that walked out the door. Matt, time to stretch at Wrigley, and it is 4-3, Cubs with the lead over the Chicago Cubs right now. So, man, I'm messing up. Cubs lead the White Sox 4-3. There we go. We will head to a break here. We'll hear from Phil Steele on some of the long shots that he likes. Matt, not a long shot.
I'll tell you what, one of Phil Steele's long shots, or his number one surprise team, is a team that has not been listed in the surprise category or a long shot category for a long time.
Yep, and he anticipated them not being in the top 10, and that's why they ended up as a surprise. Shohei Ohtani, 28th home run of the season. PCA also homered tonight. Right now, PCA plus 105, Shohei minus 130, NL MVP race.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Dodgers lead 7-1 over the Colorado Rockies. Shohei Ohtani with a solo homer in the top of the fifth inning, his 28th of the season. He is the odds-on favorite, ever so slight, to win National League player or MVP. PCA doing his thing tonight, a leadoff homer for the Chicago Cubs. Cubs lead 4-3, Matt. That is our game of the night, and it has been an entertaining one, to say the least. Strong outing from Shota Imanaga outside of the three-run homer he allowed. Luis Castillo ran into trouble in the fifth, and his defense didn't help him. Cubs now minus 620 on the money line against the Chicago White Sox. Royals up 9-4. That is part of one of your parlays tonight. You had two money line parlays?
So you got the Cubs with the Red Sox.
Okay. Red Sox have won. They won going away 11-1. Cubs up 4-3.
Cubs are a sweat here. I got the Royals with the Dodgers.
Royals up 9-4 in the ninth, and Dodgers up 7-1 in the fifth.
Just a little action on some favorites to keep me interested during the 4-hour show tonight. I know we had a lot of baseball betting action, and we like to follow the live betting aspect of it as well, but those were four favorites I thought were pretty solid favorites on tonight's card, but I wanted to parlay those instead of betting those individually tonight.
Coming up bottom of the hour, Matt, we'll hear from Warren Sharp as he joined me on Saturday. We talked about the Carolina Panthers, last year's NFC South champion, the expectation of the Panthers, as well as Bryce Young, and some more NFC South news today, Matt, as Jordan Tyson, top 10 pick out of Arizona State, will be out at least 2 months with a hamstring injury.
I'm telling you, that's some bad news for the Saints. The NFC South, and you could say this a lot of years, it shapes up like a hound's breakfast, right? Just a lot of slop. There's not too many positive aspects you can talk about with the Bucs, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Saints. I know a lot of sharp bettors like the Saints, but this is a big setback for their offense with your star rookie wide receiver is going to be sidelined now for a couple months. By the way, the Cubs got runners on the corners here with one out, bottom of the seventh.
Yeah, Nico Hoerner lined one to left field. Good play there in left field to keep the runner at third as men on the corners, as Matt mentioned, with one out.
I'm going to guess that Warren Sharp is not that high in the Panthers. I have not watched this clip yet. I know you had him on over the weekend. I'm going to guess that he's not sky high on the Carolina Panthers.
Well, we'll tease it for the people coming up on the other side. You know, Matt, you mentioned Phil Steele, who many of us, I've got the pick six preview right here. Brett Ciancia will join us tomorrow on this program as pick six preview. And I've got the Phil Steele here as well. By the way, Phil Steele joined the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast back in June. And if you look at his surprise teams, he classifies surprise teams as teams that he anticipates outside of the top 10 of the AP poll. Mm-hmm. And his number one surprise team might surprise you. It's Alabama. Because the Alabama Crimson Tide, for the first time in a while, are not a top 10 team, as we learned this morning. So let's hear from Phil Steele, as he was on VSiN by the Books, I believe, right? Let's hear from Phil Steele on his surprise teams in 2026.
I don't think we're going to see a Indiana ever again as far as a team to come up from the bottom to the top like that. But I do think Indiana's clearly in the mix. But, you know, if you're looking for teams outside the top 10 that have a shot at winning at all, I'm going to throw two of them at you right now. The first one coming from the Big Ten would be USC. And when I talked to Lincoln Riley going over the roster with him, he feels it's the best defense he's had in his 5 years at USC. Gary Patterson, the defensive coordinator, one of the best defensive minds in football. They have my number five rated offensive line. They got Jade Maeva back at quarterback. The running back core is loaded with Wayman Jordan and King Miller both back. Remember, Jordan missed half the year with injury last year. And they get Oregon and Ohio State at home. They were 7-0 at home last year. And keep in mind, had they knocked off Oregon in Autzen Stadium late in the year last year, they would have made the playoff. So keep your eyes on USC as a dark horse. And then another dark horse, at least this year, and it's a surprising name because it's not like in Indiana, but it's Alabama. And I think the way Alabama finished the season last year, getting blown out by Indiana, couldn't run the football in the postseason. They lose Ty Simpson at quarterback. There's no doubt that they were picked sixth in the SEC by the media. But I think when you look at Bama, it's Kalen DeBoer's third year. This guy's an excellent head coach. This guy's got a 20-6 record against ranked teams. I like both Keelan Russell and Austin Mack at quarterback. The defense is loaded. The secondary, one of the best in the country. The defensive line, they added a lot of size up front, so they're going to be tougher against the run, get more pressure on the quarterback. And when you factor in the schedule, I haven't favored in 9 games this year. I have 3 toss-up games, though. Georgia at home. They beat Georgia on the road last year in the regular season. At Tennessee, at LSU. Nobody's talking about Alabama this year, but I think they could surprise.
There he is, Phil Steele, who for the first time in 18 years could pick Alabama as a surprise team, because it's the first time in 18 years that Alabama is not a preseason top 10 team, as the AP poll came out today. And you
Alabama
see it on your
is number 13, though. It's not like we're talking about a long shot. When you say a dark horse, I got a bit of a problem with Alabama, USC being defined as dark horses. These are still top 15 teams, Tim.
Yeah. So his surprise teams, if you look at his magazine, Alabama 1, BYU 2, Oklahoma 3, USC 4 is what he deems as his surprise teams. His roulette chip, if you will, is what he put down there, the Pitt Panthers. So a little bit of a, I guess that would be his very
long shot. Yeah, BYU is a surprise team too.
Yep.
Has he got Texas as a surprise team?
They're top 10. Anyone outside the top 10. You know, Matt, I want to talk a little about USC.
I like USC a lot. Ton of talent, upside. Can Lincoln Riley finally win some games away from home? Actually, talk about the home schedule for USC. Oregon, Ohio State, this is going to be a pretty cool season for USC. It's got the potential.
Yeah, you get Ohio State, game you're going to be at on Halloween night. Mm-hmm. You get Oregon early on in the season. You also get Washington at home. So you do have to visit Indiana. You have to play the 3 top dogs in the Big Ten, Oregon, Indiana, and US and Ohio State. Isn't it crazy? USC has to play Oregon, Indiana, and Ohio State. Penn State doesn't have to play any of them. How the hell does that happen?
Well, it's when the conferences get too big, these super conferences with 18 teams, just too much. I mean, you're going to have unbalanced schedules, and that's unfortunate. Look at the Big 12. Texas Tech doesn't have to play anyone.
Doesn't have to play BYU, Utah, or Kansas State. No, it's no doubt, but USC, as much as I like to take shots at Lincoln Riley because he's done nothing at USC outside of complain, they do have a lot of talent, and you know, you lose Jacoby Lane, you lose Mekhi Lemon, but
love those two receivers too.
You just stockpile talent there. Mm-hmm. Wide receivers at USC, I said they grow on trees in Columbus. Well, I don't know if they grow on trees, but maybe they grow from the ground because they're always good. I mean, you always have talented guys, and they had the number one recruiting class in college football. Can some of those freshmen start to make some waves this year? That'll be interesting. But the USC schedule is really tough, considering the AP poll came out today, Matt. You've got five games against top 18 teams. And I'll say this game, as you say this about their schedule, Matt. Got to go to Penn State, which will be a challenge. We've already seen a flip of favorites in that game. After you play Oregon and Washington, and then before you play Ohio State and Indiana, you go on the road to Wisconsin. We know how much Lincoln Riley and this USC team has struggled to travel. It's coming off a bye, but there's the potential. That Wisconsin game, that's going to be a tricky spot kind of sandwiched in between a lot of really good teams.
And that's not a secret. Actually, I don't care what you think of the Badgers. That's never an easy road game. Pop that schedule up there one more time real quick, because that six-game stretch for USC is about as tough as it possibly gets. Talking about home games against Oregon and Washington. And then pop the schedule up there one more time if you can. Oregon, Washington at home, followed by at Penn State, at Wisconsin, home against Ohio State, at Indiana. Tim, who's got a tougher six-game stretch than that? And I know you may not say, well, Penn State and Wisconsin are power. Those are road games. Those are going to be really tough road games.
Don't forget. Environments.
Yeah, don't forget. Kurt Cignetti and the Hoosiers barely escaped at Penn State last year, barely escaped at Iowa. Those are not going to be easy conference games for the Trojans. And Oregon, Washington, Penn State, Wisconsin, Ohio State, Indiana. Man, that six games is as difficult as it gets on the USC schedule.
A bad Wisconsin team in 2024 almost beat undefeated Oregon at home.
Yeah.
16-13 was the final score in that one. So the schedule is pretty ruthless for USC, and I think you could make an argument that game at Happy Valley, October 10th, might be a play-in game for the fourth playoff spot amongst Big Ten teams. Hey, just a reminder, if you want more college football in your life, well, we got the answer. The College Football Betting Guide, available right now, vsin.com. You've got Humans and Paul Stone's collaboration for a top 50. You also have previews of all 138 teams. You've got some Heisman preview, as well as ratings of top 15 quarterbacks from our buddy Paul Stone, and best bets galore. You can check it out for just $9.99. vsin.com/subscribe. Top of the eighth inning, Matt. 4-3 remains the score. Cubs holding on to a one-run lead against the Chicago White Sox, but a man on first with no outs. And Shohei Ohtani back at the plate for the Dodgers. He's already homered once.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Matt, as we went to break, I said Shohei Ohtani's at the plate. He's already hit one homer. Matt, how many homers does Shohei Ohtani now have in tonight's game?
He's got two. That was a bomb to center field. Dodgers just teeing off on Rockies pitching tonight, 10-1 LA at Coors Field. By the way, the Cubs have giving up the lead, and I thought the Cubs should have made a pitching change when you had the lefty Benintendi coming to the plate against a right-handed reliever, and the Cubs stuck with the right-hander, and he gave up a two-run homer and then a single. So the Cubs mismanaging their relief pitching tonight, and now they got the lefty warming up at the bullpen. Tim, it's a little bit too late for that. You just had back-to-back lefties at the plate for the White Sox, but the Cubs have blown the lead.
Into the basket in right field for Andrew Benintendi. Two big homers tonight for the Chicago White Sox, and they lead 5-4, top of the eighth inning. Sometimes we pick snoozers, Matt, for our primetime game of the night. This has not been that. This has been an awesome game from the jump. Big guy, big names showing up and performing well, and the White Sox lead 5-4. By the way, White Sox two wins away from clinching their over for season wins. 65 wins already this season for the White Sox.
Several sharp bettors were on the White Sox over this season. Just, you know, if you're following the Cubs and you're critical of the Cubs coaching and the manager, Craig Counsell, and how they handle the pitching, that was a spot there where the White Sox got three consecutive left-handed hitters coming up. Why would you stick with the right-handed reliever? bring a lefty out of the bullpen to face three consecutive left-handed hitters, and the Cubs didn't do that, and they paid the price. What are you thinking? That's Aaron Boone-type management.
Even when the Yankees aren't playing, Matt finds a way to stick it to bubble boy Aaron Boone. White Sox minus 262 favorites right now at Wrigley tonight. Cubs plus 223 right now on that live number. With that homer, the total also goes over for the White Sox-Cub game, which closed around 8 or 8.5. Matt, before we get to Warren Sharp talking a little NFC South, you were engaged in a conversation outside the studio here, stretching our legs. What were you...
Did you see that?
I did. What were you guys talking about?
All right, so there's a group of guys out of here. I walked out of the studio, and they don't know what VSIN is. And the one guy walked up and he goes, "Hey, man, are you an actor?" I said, "What? Are you an actor?" I said, "No, we're doing a sports TV, sports radio show in here. We do it every night." He goes, "So you're not an actor in movies?" He goes, "You look very familiar to me. You look like that Mexican cartel bad guy in some of the movies." I said, "Are you serious?" He goes, "Yeah."
And even, I know Megabar's going through a little bit of a rehash right now, but has he been hitting the beverages a little hard?
I don't know, Tim, but apparently I look like a Mexican cartel bad guy.
All right.
So here we go.
Well, you got something to look forward to. Maybe your second career coming after your time at VSIN, or maybe you could do both. You know, we both have been in our fair share of Circa commercials, so maybe you use that and send it to Hollywood. All right, Matt, on Saturday I had Warren Sharp on the show, and by the way, Dustin just texted me. He goes, "El Yumo." Warren Sharp, at Sharp Football on Twitter. He's been a contributor to VSIN in the past, was on a lot of shows on Sundays last football season, Matt. And we were talking on Saturday morning about some teams that he was a little bit higher on. One of the teams he's higher on is the Houston Texans, believes that there will be a bit of a bounce back season there for the Texans. But one team he's not particularly high on is your NFC South champion, Carolina Panthers.
I know this team went to the postseason last year and didn't look terrible in doing so against the LA Rams, but I think Bryce Young is due for regression on a number of fronts. First and foremost, everybody was expecting Bryce Young to look better in 2025 because of the way that he finished the last few weeks of 2024 season, where he was ranking top 10 in a variety of metrics. And Bryce Young obviously did a little bit better. He had a career year last year in 2025. The problem is that that's still ranked 32nd in the NFL in EPA per pass attempt. He still ranked 31st in the NFL in success rate. He still was one of, if not the worst starting quarterback statistically in the NFL last season. He also has been a player who has been healthy all 3 years of his entire career. The only time that he played less than 16 games was when he was benched 2 years ago in the 2024 season for Andy Dalton. So he's been exceedingly healthy for a player of his diminutive stature, his wiry frame. He's not the biggest, tallest, strongest quarterback out there. I just think some of these things are going to have to ultimately regress. I think we saw Bryce Young and the way that they orchestrated this offense last year in Carolina. They dropped his target depth by 2 full yards. They had him throwing the ball shorter, more underneath. Now they lost some running backs in the backfield.
Under 7.5 was what he discussed later on in that clip, Matt. He also looking to go under Bryce Young's passing props. NFC South became a little murkier today with the news of Jordan Tyson. Not to say that a rookie wide receiver is going to take a team over the top, but that was certainly a guy that they were anticipating being a big contributor right away. They drafted him 8th overall. Sure. The NFC South right now, man, I know the Buccaneers are your favorites, but is there a team you could really make a case for to win this division? And do you agree with the assessment there of Warren to go under the win total for the Carolina Panthers?
I do. I'm not that optimistic about the Panthers. I think Bryce Young's probably going to regress as well. I've not been sold on him. And there are some other aspects of this Carolina team I'm not crazy about. You know, when you see – you see Brett McMurphy, who we had on the show tonight, you think he's got the best mustache in sports.
I was going to ask you this, yeah.
And then you see Warren Sharp.
It's a tremendous mustache. I mean, that's top-notch mustache.
It's hard to say this, but that's a better mustache than McMurphy's got. Because for years, McMurphy had the number one mustache in sports media.
It's true.
It's now Warren Sharp.
I think you got to give it to him.
Yeah.
We should ask a poll who's got the best mustache in sports media. Warren Sharp's got to be up there.
Is there who's number three? Would be that big cat guy on Barstool?
I feel like he messes with his facial hair all the time. I don't know. We'll have to really think hard about best mustache in all of sports media. Matt, I want you to grow a mustache.
I got another candidate, but it's a chick, so I'm not going to say it.
let's leave that for another time. The Atlanta Falcons have been dealing with, man, it feels like they got James Pierce dealing with his situation.
Falcons lost two of their top pass rushers.
Yeah.
Right? It's just, and I like the Falcons plus 425 to win that division just because it seems like it's almost a coin flip. It should be with those four teams. And Kevin Stefanski should be a big coaching upgrade in Atlanta. But, man, if you really look at the Bucs, the Saints, the Panthers, the Falcons, you could pick apart all four of these teams.
You look at the Falcons with Stefanski going down there, and I just look at, I got Bijan, I got Kyle Pitts, I got Drake London. Uh-huh. Man, I like that more than anybody else in that division. But you trust the quarterback play? NFC South. What'd you call the NFC South, man?
It's a hound's breakfast. It's a bunch of slop thrown in there.
Have you ever had a hound's breakfast?
No, but I've seen it fed to a dog before. I've seen it fed to a German Shepherd. Have you ever seen a hound's breakfast?
I don't know. I just feed my dog dry food. I don't give her a hound's breakfast. By the way, going back to the Shohei Ohtani home run, his second home run, Matt. I've been monitoring the NL MVP market today, plus 135 heading into today. Pete Crow Armstrong homers in the first inning. Yeah. Ohtani goes to minus 130. Crow Armstrong goes to plus 105. Ohtani homers twice. He's back to minus 140. Crow Armstrong plus 115. So Shohei with two homers tonight. PCA with one. But you believe right now PCA is worthy. Is he worthy of a bet at that price? At plus 115?
I think so. Thinking about making that bet. I'm going to look at this a little bit more tonight. But Ohtani certainly strengthens his case with a couple homers tonight. PCA with the leadoff homer. If Ohtani does not pitch the rest of the season or only pitches a little bit, Pete Crow Armstrong can take the MVP. I think the fact that Ohtani has not been pitching and might not pitch again for a while really impacts the odds, and that's pretty obvious.
Do the Cubs have to win the division or just make the playoffs?
You know what? To me, the team's success doesn't even factor into it. The Cubs are going to be up there. Dodgers, obviously, are going to win the division. But, Tim, I don't think the team's record or performance should actually impact who's going to be MVP at all in this case, right? The Cubs and Dodgers are both top contenders to win the National League, even if the Cubs do not win the division.
Bottom of the eighth inning, VSiN primetime game of the night has been a great one. White Sox lead 5-4 as we just had a two-run homer from the Chicago White Sox to give them the lead. Now one out in the bottom of the eighth inning. Andrew Benintendi, a two-run shot to right field. Randall Grichuk hit a three-run homer earlier in this game. How about this, Matt? Grichuk's spot in the lineup was replaced by Benintendi. So the number four spot of the White Sox lineup tonight has got two homers, and that's the difference. 5-4, bottom of the eighth inning.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Pete Crow Armstrong double in the bottom of the eighth inning here, Matt. So a man in scoring position, two outs. White Sox going to the bullpen. Live number in that contest. Still has the White Sox heavy favorites at minus 290. But Seiya Suzuki, Matt, hit a solo homer in the back in the first inning. So we will see if the dynamic duo of PCA and Seiya Suzuki can do what they did back in the first inning at Wrigley Field, as we have, once again, a pitching change. PCA on second, Jordan Hicks into the game for the Chicago White Sox.
I wonder what the record is for teams in the history of baseball when the first two batters hit homers.
That's
yeah, I think that's a game.
Suzuki, you're gonna, line one, but foul.
And seems like that's a game you would win 80-something percent of the time, right, or more. But the Cubs did that tonight, and they're trailing 5-4 with two outs, bottom of the eighth. And Suzuki at the plate, 0-2 count here, and Hicks out of the bullpen for the White Sox.
Little bit of news here, Matt, as the Indianapolis Colts are signing Keenan Allen to a one-year deal. So new weapon for Daniel Jones. Right now, you look at that offense, Matt, you got Josh Downs, Tyler Warren, Keenan Allen, Alec Pierce. Pierce is dealing with an injury, though, right? Jonathan Allen, mm-hmm. or Jonathan Taylor, and Daniel Jones in the AFC South. Mentioned that Warren Sharp, a clip we didn't play, Matt, he's bullish on the Texans. I believe he likes them to go over their win total of 9.5. He expects C.J. Stroud to bounce back here this upcoming year. Maybe a little bit of a buy low, because the last time we saw C.J. Stroud, it was a nightmare of a performance against the New England Patriots.
I'm not the biggest C.J. Stroud fan, but the Houston defense looks really solid. And I like the Texans. That's another division that's
It's better than a hound's breakfast.
It's been better because the Jaguars have gotten a little bit better the last couple of years, right?
Texans plus 110, Jags plus 245, Colts plus 380. If you're very risky, Titans 8-1. All right, 0-2 count, Hicks versus Seiya Suzuki, bottom eight. Whoo, fastball at 100 miles an hour, and somehow Suzuki holds up on that one. Matt, we've got our
big moment here in our primetime game of the night.
Yeah,
with PCA on second, two outs, Suzuki at the plate, and the Cubs got the middle of the order waiting here with that's just above the strike zone.
Man, Suzuki has done it.
How do you hold off that pitch?
100-mile-an-hour fastball just above the belt.
How do you hold off that pitch? Wow. You got to give Suzuki a lot of credit for that, because what was that pitch, maybe a half inch above the strike zone?
Back-to-back, really good holds by Suzuki, and now
ball
full
three.
Count, Matt. So PCA on second there, and Jordan Hicks, Suzuki working.
Oh, not again.
Did Kyle Tucker miss?
Tucker dropped another fly ball in right field. Did you? This is worse than the one yesterday. Watch this. Not that it's going to cost the Dodgers, because they're up 10-1. But watch this drop fly ball in there. Suzuki fouls one off on a 3-2 count. Watch this.
No way. Oh, my gosh.
That is horrible.
I mean, at some point, Matt.
As a Little Leaguer, you would be embarrassed if you dropped that
ball. Little League World Series starts on Wednesday. We will not see plays like that in Williamsport. What a disaster. This year, at least he can't be booed right now because they're in Colorado. All right, 3-2 pitch again, and he gets him. Jordan
Strike
Hicks,
out.
What a battle. Gets Seiya Suzuki. I think he went off speed there on that 3-2 pitch. And they head to the ninth inning, 5-4. White Sox still with
this?
The lead.
The Cubs have out-hit the White Sox 12-4 tonight, but they're trailing 5-4.
Matt, we're getting closer. Start of the NFL's week two of the preseason. We'll get two games on Thursday night. We got Las Vegas visiting Houston, San Francisco, and the Chargers. We'll get three games on Friday, and then a whole host of games on Saturday. One game primetime on Sunday. So we'll start diving into the preseason week two a little bit tomorrow, Matt. And then week zero. Less than 2 weeks away. We've got eight games between FBS teams, Matt. Some big spreads, but also some short spreads. We've got Hawaii and Stanford. The market has been moving steadily towards Stanford here in this spot. You got TCU in North Carolina. That's going to be a very lopsided side there. And then the game that I'm most interested in, outside of the game that obviously we will be attending, Matt, here in Vegas, Memphis UNLV, I, once again, am not fully understanding just the full-on infatuation with UNLV in the betting market there. I know Memphis had a lot of turnover, but Charles Huff brought in some pieces from Southern Miss, a pretty good Sun Belt team a year ago. I think it should be a decent defense at Memphis, I'm waiting to see if that gets to seven, and I would look to back the Memphis Tigers there if that gets to a full seven. But right now, Matt, as you look at that week zero slate, and by the way, Matt and I will have a full breakdown of the week zero card on a special edition of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast a week from Thursday in Honolulu. Anything initially jumping out to you? I do have one bet, which is under 49.5 Hawaii and Stanford.
I think this is a really good week zero schedule. First of all, we're going to see what Bill Belichick and the Tar Heels have against TCU, a 48-14 game a year ago. San Jose at USC, I think that's the type of game USC could probably name the score.
San Jose is going to be really down this year. Lost a lot of pieces. I'm a big Kenny Amatalolo fan, but man, quarterback position is a disaster. San Jose, like you said, USC, if they want to, they could really run it up on San Jose State.
We're going to see an explosive USC offense on display in that game. Now, when USC plays Fresno, it could be a bit of a different story after that, but against San Jose, it's going to be a name to score type of situation. Hawaii at Stanford, you know, we've talked a lot about that, and we will more. Obviously, incredible game last year between these teams out in Honolulu. The rematch, Stanford, probably going to win. I would lean home favorite and under the total in that game right now, but I have not bet it yet. Memphis or UNLV, I'm concerned about the Rebels' quarterback situation. I was talking about this with Steve Cofield of ESPN Radio here in Vegas and Adam Hill and some guys who have more insight into what's been happening at UNLV practices. And Jackson Arnold, the transfer from Oklahoma, has not taken control of that job like we thought he would, a former five-star prospect. Alex Orji, the second-year transfer from Michigan, actually he's got a decent shot to win that job. If I get seven, I might take the Tigers.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think that would be a spot. One of the biggest movements we've seen, Matt, is Jacksonville State, North Dakota State. North Dakota State, newbie to the FBS, obviously had remarkable success in the FCS ranks, lots of national championships, good coaches, Craig Bohl, Matt Entz, and North Dakota State. That number's come down from 10. Oh, 6.5 out there, now 7 here at Circa. And the game we didn't talk about, Matt, it was supposed to be played in Brazil. Both teams in NC State and Virginia. NC State, look at their schedule, pretty manageable. Don't play Miami, don't play SMU. Get Louisville at home, CJ Bailey back. And then you got Virginia, who won 11 games a year ago, lost in the ACC championship game, would have been a playoff team if they had beaten Duke, lose in overtime, but they do lose Chandler Morris, and now it looks like Bo Prabula probably is going to be their starting quarterback. They also have Eli Holstein on that roster. So that's a 3:30 Eastern game on Saturday in Charlottesville, supposed to be in Brazil. What are you laughing at?
First of all, C.J. Bailey's an intriguing quarterback prospect. Was he 6'6", 240?
Yeah, very much so.
So, Virginia, I think the prime candidate for regression, the luck factor off the charts for the Cavaliers a year ago. I was going to say this game originally scheduled for Brazil.
Yep.
Is there one person in Brazil who wants to see NC State play Virginia? Why the hell was that game scheduled for Brazil?
There had to have been at least one NC State alum who lives in Brazil, right? At least one? It's a big country.
NC State, Virginia, and Brazil? What? What were they thinking?
I don't know. Huh? Oh, man, but you could smell it. New episode of the podcast, by the way, out tomorrow. Me and Stanford Steve recorded that today.
If you sent Stanford Steve to Brazil, he'd be a big hit.
That's true. He's got a big fan base down there in Brazil. He is College Game Day not going to anywhere week zero. Maybe we could convince him to fly out to the
Stanford
Bay to see his alma mater.
Why not Hawaii Stanford?
Come on. Come on, Steve. Come on out.
College Game Day in Vegas for Memphis UNLV. Why not?
How about Dustin Sweetelson getting the bottom of the ninth inning at Wrigley Field? Will there be heroics from the Chicago
Dustin
Cubs?
Dustin's not going to be happy here because the Big Sweet had the White Sox plus 130 in the first five. They screwed that up, and now they're going to come back and win the game.
Johnny Avello was our guest earlier today, as well as Jonathan Peterlin and Brett McMurphy. Appreciate all three of those gentlemen joining the program. Thanks to Corey, our producer, and everyone behind the scenes. Cashing out with Dustin Sweetelson coming up top of the hour, and then start your day with VSiN by the books. Matt, what time is your hit with Super Dave and Jensen Lewis?
4:30 in the morning. I'm going to leave here and practice my role as a Mexican cartel bad guy.
El Yumo. That is the next career adventure for Matt Humans. Headed to Hollywood to be a head of some cartels. For Matt Eumanns, I'm Tim Murray. Dustin Sweetelson coming up next. This has been VSiN Primetime.